roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Thursday. We have a lot to talk about. We have some news to cover. We have an interview as well from a fighter who recently won, big too, undefeated. And we want to give you some reminders of this weekend's UFC 256 watch-along here on Sportscaster. All right, so I'm Gorgeous George, and that's Goz, and we're the official hosts of the official radio show for MMAJunkie.com. I've been with you guys now for a while. You've been following the watch-alongs, and now doing our show live on Sportscaster for almost a year. Mondays and Thursdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So if you're watching us now, you're watching us live. But quick reminder, all these shows are recorded and you can catch them all later that day, the next day, or you can even go back and watch all the previous shows we've done with lots of really, really cool guests. Now, to the watch-along on Saturday. We're going to host a UFC 256 watch-along at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, here on Sportscaster. Goz and I are going to dip in early. We want to watch a total of 7 fights with you, including Davison Figueiredo against Brandon Moreno. It's going to be a sweet title fight. El Cucuy is also in action in the co-main event. That's Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira. It's going to be a fun time. Again, Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. That's the official start time of the pay-per-view. And again, Goz and I will dip in early, 6 p.m. Pacific for the prelims. On today's show, we're going to talk to Jamal Hill, who defeated Ovince St. Preux in the second round via TKO strikes, a 30-plus combo that he put on the Grizzly veteran. And now that takes him to 9-0. That's what he wants to hear, by the way. 8-0-1 because of some stupid marijuana rule that still exists. But 9-0 is what it says on his Insta, and that's what I'm going to introduce him as. So I can't wait to talk to him. We can't wait to talk to him. And, of course, we'll talk about all the latest news, including Rumble Johnson going to Bellator. All right, folks, it is Junkie Radio on a Thursday, December 10th.
Habla español, amigo.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
All right, so let's get to some big news before we get to Jamal Hill. He'll be reporting in at 12:15 p.m. Eastern, 9:15 a.m. Pacific. Rumble Johnson goes headed to Bellator. React.
Well, at first, I didn't think this would be the type of signing Bellator would do. But when I heard Scott Coker talk about it, I understand it. The question is for me, he seems like he wants to give Rumble maybe a couple fights, which I understand. Rumble's had like a big layoff, and then from there move on to bigger things. I think he can make big matchups in Bellator. I understand it. What I don't understand about this is why the UFC would let him go, because he was under contract with the UFC. The UFC parted ways with him, and Bellator scooped him up. But there are huge matchups in the UFC that Rumble Johnson could have been a part of. I don't understand why that didn't come about. But as far as what Bellator did, when you think about maybe some of the names that they've passed over, first one that comes to mind is Yoel Romero. Yeah, I think that's smart. This may be something that we wouldn't have seen a couple years ago from them, but they passed on Yoel Romero for now and picked up Anthony Johnson. I think, yeah, you strengthened your roster. That's a great pickup, and it's definitely one of those guys where, for sure, when you tell me there's a Bellator card and he's on it, doesn't matter who he's fighting, I'm going to tune in.
Yeah. So just to clarify a few things, for those wondering, is he going to fight at heavyweight or light heavyweight? Coker's open to both, but he wants to start him off at light heavyweight. He mentioned that he looks to be in great shape, and he won't go into a title shot, like Go said, so he's probably going to have whoever's left over from the Nemkov sweepstakes. Nemkov's got to defend against somebody. He just beat Ryan Bader. I don't think they're going to run it back. I think Bader's going to focus on the heavyweight title that he also holds over at Bellator. And so whoever's left out of that, you know, I would imagine Corey Anderson might fight Nemkov. That might leave Bill Davis for Rumble Johnson or vice versa, or who knows. But he's not going to immediately debut into a title shot, and it does look to be 205. Now, AJ has performed as a heavyweight before at World Series of Fighting, and so it's not really out of the realm for him to do that, especially because the aforementioned Ryan Bader also has been a longtime light heavyweight who went up to heavyweight and won the Grand Prix and now is their champ. And guess what? Rumble Johnson owns a win over Ryan Bader, so there's a little bit of history there. So great signing for Bellator. I thought it was a bad decision to part ways on the UFC side. The only thing I can think of is what could make it, irreversible, I guess. Rumble said, I want to get paid this much, and UFC this much, said this much, and they were just too far away. I think that's one of those where the UFC thinks it over, walks paces back and forth, but then decides, do we really, really not want a guy who KOs people? I mean, I think he's got the second most KOs in the UFC. Do we really want to part ways with that guy? Is Bellator writing that much bigger checks than the UFC? I don't know. This guy was under contract. He was already in the USADA pool, goes since September, 3 months into the USADA pool.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of, George, is possibly maybe they were close on money, but remember what Bellator does do is they allow you to be a personality. They allow you to sell parts of your life outside of MMA with Bellator. UFC no longer lets you do that, right? You're Reebok right now and UFC. And Anthony Johnson has done a good job outside of mixed martial arts in his personal life to build businesses and just things that he's done, you know, even working with BKFC. There's things that he does that I think maybe Bellator can allow him to put out there. That might have been the deciding factor, just being able to be Rumble, being able to have a personality.
Good point on BKFC and then the marijuana business that he's a part of as well. Maybe Rumble was trying to parlay a lot of things into his contract. The same way you see Conor McGregor, you see his whiskey brand, you know, on the octagon. I don't think Rumble went that far because Conor McGregor is just on a whole other level. You know, when you negotiate with him, you have to be willing to concede some of that. But maybe he wanted a little bit of a taste of that. I don't know, you know, and to speculate and then be way off, I'd hate to do that. So I think we're just going to wait and see. I'm sure Rumble will make himself available to the media. We'll definitely try and get on the list. If not, someone at Junkie will, or maybe his manager. The truth may, you know, will come out at some point. But these are all just valid reasons why I think, you know, they may have parted ways. But still, I'm a little disappointed. He was just great, man. You know, and not to say like, hey, John Jones is out of the way, because he wasn't one of the guys that lost to John Jones. So, you know, sometimes you think, wow, is he really going to get another title shot? With Yoel Romero, even if Yoel Romero was 33 and not 43, you'd have to think, well, he already fought the champ, Izzy, and lost, and he already fought Whitaker twice and lost. Like, that road back to the title. You know, can he really get there? And so, and we're paying that guy a lot of money. But with AJ, he had never lost to John Jones. But John Jones is out of the way. So I don't know. Just I'm baffled. But hey, he's moved on. We got to move on.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you're the UFC selling a Francis Ngannou, Anthony Johnson fight, two guys that you know are not going to hit the ground? It's such an easy sell. There's so many fights for Rumble Johnson over there. I'm very, very curious to find out what the actual reasoning was, why they just parted ways with him.
Speaking of Izzy, Izzy got his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt. Now, is that notable news? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of these guys that get belted like every couple times a year, and we don't hear about it. But here's why I thought it was significant. I saw him in the gi, and a lot of the guys don't return to the gi. And when you return to the gi, you do return to a lot of the fundamentals of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You can get black belted no-gi and gi, and a lot of guys do. Like Joe Rogan's very notable for having done that. But a lot of them, the gi one's the last one you go back to. So just the fact that he's willing to go in there and tighten up his game and go over certain details impresses me, because this is a guy who you see, man, he's rocking some really nice sports cars. He's got some really, really good endorsements, travels the world. But when I see him spending a week here in Las Vegas, isolating himself, cornering his teammates, donning the gi, doing his camp at the gym, the whole camp at the gym, sticking to the basics, goes, he's not letting that lifestyle get to him. Very, very impressed.
I'll always remember when we first started the show, our co-host was Frank Trigg, who fought in almost just about every organization you can think of. But I remember when he got his purple belt was right around the time when he was starting to – he had finally shed the whole rear naked choke defense and all that. He was already starting to really master his defense, but also a little bit of offense. And I think that's a good turning point. I think it's a great thing for Izzy to do that. Like, Izzy's really, really unique when you think about him as a fighter and as a person. He's just not what you think he would be, because he does have that flashy side. You know who he reminds me of a lot? Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is very, very flashy, and people give him shit about that. But Floyd never leaves the gym. He's always there. He may train at like odd hours, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., he's in there. But he does it. He still does it. He finds a way. And that reminds me a lot of Israel Adesanya. Like, the dude's just constantly improving. He takes his craft so seriously. I like that dude, man. He's super cool.
Yeah, me too. All right, moving on here. Sorry, we're hustling through this because I want to get to Jamahal Hill, spend as much time as he'll allow us with him, and then come back and finish up, and then also keep promoting our UFC 256 watch-along on Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, here on Sportscaster. Watch the pay-per-view with us, won't you? There's also fights tonight, Goes. Another title fight. It's Elimelech McFarland. She's going to be defending against Juliana Velasquez for the women's flyweight title over at Bellator. Elimelech, she's the number two for Valentina Shevchenko in USA Today MMA Junkie rankings at flyweight. Undefeated, title defenses. She's a star for those guys. She headlines that card. Also, Holly Marks versus Linton Bassell, Davion Franklin versus Anthony Garrett, and Magomedov versus Matias Matos. Magomedov recently signed with Bellator. He's the only man to ever give a loss to Peter Yan. Peter Yan's the only loss on Magomedov's record as well. So, he must be pretty damn good, but now we're going to see him perform at Bellator. By the way, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific for that card on CBS Sports Network. Your thoughts on the title fight?
Well, I think if you enjoy gambling, which a lot of people who watch MMA do, I think between Bellator and UFC, there's some smart plays in there that you could get in.
Okay, yeah. You were telling me about Juliana Velasquez versus Elimelech McFarland. Do you see an upset brewing here, or do you think the champ walks away with yet another title defense?
Tougher fight. I think the champ walks away unscathed. But I think gambling-wise, between the two cards, UFC and Bellator, I think you can make a lot of money. I think there's some good stuff there.
I have talked to a few sharps that have told me that between Velasquez, Marino, and Oliveira, two of the three have good chances to hit. So, I don't know. And for different reasons, Kukui's coming off that tough loss versus Gaethje, although, man, that dude's a stud, Kukui, you know what I mean? And you saw what he did, the most of the lightweight division. I mean, he killed off most of the lightweight division the same way Khabib did. It's just Khabib, he was in the right place at the right time. They both had knee injuries. They both had last-minute pullouts, even versus themselves or whatever, but Khabib was in the right place at the right time. I know Kukui's been complaining a little bit about why didn't I get my undisputed title shot. I mean, he did, and he unfortunately tweaked his knee on fight week. What you're doing is you're proving that you're the best at that particular time, and for whatever reason, if the champ's not willing to defend against you because they've had a prolonged injury or some sort of a contract dispute, well, heck, you stepped up. And when you can place your resume next to someone else's and go, look, this is what I've done, you're not just Johnny on the spot. You've earned it. But that said, his career's not over. And Oliveira's been broken before. Oliveira's he's streaking right now. He's on an amazing streak. But that's one thing with Ferguson is he's almost impossible to break, and he's very well-rounded.
Well, I was looking at some of the chat room comments, and I see a Hal from Chicago's going big on Tony Ferguson. I don't know. I turned Tony Ferguson as my staff picks. I think when you break it down, it makes sense. But Charles Oliveira, I think, is that type of fighter where if you haven't faced him, there are things he does that catches you by surprise. And I think there are moments here where Oliveira can maybe exploit not Tony Ferguson's lack of anything, just the wildness that Tony Ferguson is. And that's the thing is, being a wild man has sometimes won him fights. Fighters haven't expected that. But with a guy like Charles Oliveira, where you can't even slip up for a second, I think that might actually benefit him.
We'll see. That's why we tune in, right? Great, and you know that's when you can make some money. It's really tough because I had noticed one of those articles that Mike Bond does where he goes over the numbers, and he was just saying, man, favorites are just cashing, you know. So when you're on the wrong side of one of those favorites cashing, you have to win the next two or three just to break even. We don't tune into fights to break even. We want to make some money. But when you can hit one of those dogs early on, you have a little bit of money to play with, you know. And if it's a night where there's 12 fights and five dogs hit, six dogs hit, you make some pretty good cash.
Yeah, for sure. And we're definitely going to be doing that on our watch along. The question is, what alcohol will we be drinking that night? What food and what alcohol? We like to get there early. We like to kind of hit our mitts, get some rounds in, some jump rope before that pay-per-view starts. But we're definitely going to be munching on something. We're definitely going to be drinking maybe Modelo's.
Yeah, Modelo's. I've always had great luck with the Mexican beers. So whether it's Tecate, Modelo, Pacifico, and of course the GOAT Corona, or I should call it the OG because I've been more on a Modelo kick, but I grew up drinking Corona, and that Dutch beer Heineken. Man, once you acquire the taste for it, you like it. But I understand when a lot of people go, ugh, you know what I mean? Because it's just a really, really different taste from other beers. But it's always been one of my favorites. And, of course, you can't ever go wrong with a nice cold Bud Light either.
True that. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, that and some pizza. I think we were looking at maybe some pizza today, but we were like, no, let's wait till Saturday till the fights are on. Our mom's in town. Maybe we'll do some Peruvian food or something. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you guys real quick about a show I started watching called Trafficked. Trafficked, yeah, past tense. So traffic, but past tense, and not the kind, you know, honking horns and switching lanes. It's with a lady named Mariana Zeller, her name is, and it's National Geographic. And she goes around the world, you know, with, basically investigating bad guys, but going undercover with bad guys and seeing how bad guys do their thing. So in essence, she has information that could really, really put a lot of people behind bars, but she keeps her word to them that she's just doing an investigation and that's it. But so far she's been off the coast of Mexico, seeing how they bring in fentanyl off the ships that come in from China. She's been in Jamaica and Israel where people are trying to scam people out of money, you know, by doing the old, you won $1 million in a lotto. And if you send me the processing fee of $975, we will wire you your money. And then the most recent one she did was she went to Lima, because in Peru, they are the best at producing counterfeit American currency. So I really, why did I bring this up? Oh, Peruvian food. So when they were there, she was, you know, they were showing a little bit of the cuisine and everything. And I looked at Goz, I go, okay, Peruvian food's in our future. And he nodded his head yes.
Yeah, that looked good. I actually liked that show. I only watched a piece of it, but I think I'm going to start recording it. Except one thing I didn't understand was the girl was trying to protect people's identities, which I think is a big thing in journalism, especially if you're going to try and do something like that. But she, when she's describing the guy, she's like, he's full of tattoos, and he's got a tattoo in English that reads blah, blah, blah. Like, aren't you kind of giving it away at that point? You know what I'm saying?
And when she's saying, okay, we're in the so-and-so district of Lima, you know, and two blocks away from this financial building. Yeah, I mean, in essence, she has given a little bit of info away, and you kind of see what coast she was off in, Mazatlan, Mexico, and the types of boats that were being used. And so, yeah, I mean, but I think she's been pretty wide open and transparent with the bad guys, saying, look, this is what I do, and this is how it comes off. So you all should know better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I mean, it'd be like if you did something on the UFC, and let's just say steroids or something like that, and you go, we talked to an individual who has a flat top and a tattoo of a sword in his chest, but we won't reveal his name. I mean, like, come on. I don't know. That's gotta, like, the next person that they go to is probably gonna hear that and go,
All right, I want to tell people about Manscaped. They are changing the game, the grooming game, with the Perfect Package 3.0. All right. It includes their lawnmower, the 3.0 trimmer, a ceramic blade with skin-safe technology, and it's designed to reduce nicks and tugs on your fellas down low. And we also have, so the whole box, what they send it in, pretty creative, huh? Your balls will thank you. Your chicks will thank you. If you got a harem of chicks, they'll be thanking you. They'll keep you in the rotation. If you just got one exclusive, your queen, she'll be thanking you as well. And maybe you won't, you know, have to renew the vows or take her on vacation, because she'll be happy and to stay home and do a staycation, you know what I mean, and hook you up. So it also comes with this ball deodorant right here, and this one's called the ball toner. So here are those products. You shave first, and then you clean up the fellas downstairs. It all comes in this very, very cool travel kit that you can take with you on the road. They also had tossed us some boxers, but those were worn earlier this week. So, yeah. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. After you're done conditioning.
And smooth downstairs, yeah, those boxers feel really, really good. Plus, they're really quality boxers.
Yeah, they're really nice. They feel really nice. And after you're done conditioning your boys, you got to put them in a nice car. This is your vehicle right here, your Manscaped boxers. I'll tell you, for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts: the shed travel bag here that we see, and the patented high performance anti-chafing boxers that I have right here. I keep all my equipment right here. Got my toner, got my spray, and I got my power source and my shaver. 20% off at Manscaped. It's Christmas time. You got to get something for the boys. I'm not talking about your kids. And 20% off free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. Give your testies the besties.
And let me say one more time, replaceable, hygienic, skin-safe blades. Because I know a lot of people have gone down there with scissors from laying from around the house, or just dull razor blades, and it can be no fun. So this is really, really a quality product. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code JunkieNation. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. All right, Goz, give me an update on our guest.
I think our little thing might have screwed things up, so I'm trying to figure it out, but hopefully I can get him on here before the show ends.
All right, yeah. Hopefully we can get Jamal Hill on. But again, apologies for – look, we're not lying either. I'm going to show you guys. I don't think this has any vital info, but they left us this on our wall, on our door yesterday.
It says prep or planned audit outage, but it says 12/11/20 right here. See that? Today's 12/10, not 12/11. So I don't know why they're tripping. We have a window from 5 a.m. noon because apparently Cox Cable here in Las Vegas is they're going to give us all a boost, but they got to turn us all off for the whole morning. And yeah, that was very, very frustrating, but I'm glad we're still here and we're going to be able to finish the show. But hey, you know, we'll always make it up to you. It just so happened that it was right around the time that our guest was going to pop on.
Yeah, like 5 to 6 hours they want on Friday. That's pretty nuts.
Wait, is that a pun there? Are we going back to Manscaped?
Sure.
Yeah. The fight card tonight, Emelie McFarlane, how do you think – I mean, that dude, she's a professional – and I know she's winding down her career. I know she said she wanted to have a family and things like that. I'm not saying she could take the gloves off tonight. But cold Connecticut, where the Mohegan Sun is, with no fans, and that's a far different cry from the last 2 years when Bellator went to Hawaii and featured Emelie. Think about her walkouts. Think about her family. Think about the fans. You know, this is really, really a different setting. With you think it'll affect her?
I think a little bit of it does. I remember last time we spoke to her, we talked a little bit about her entrances, and I think she said they could sometimes even get a little stressful, right, with some of the things that she's got to do to prepare for something like that. But look, lots of fighters have gone through the same thing she's gone through, and the amount of them that have said this has affected them in some way is very small compared to the ones that have said, I haven't really even noticed it at all. And then there's some that even say, I like it better this way. So somebody that's been in the position of her being a champion, I think that's part of becoming a champion and being and remaining a champion is just knowing how to get through some adversity. And now in 2020, the adversity doesn't start when the fight starts. It's actually year round. So, if there's anybody that can get through it, it's Emelie. But I really think this is going to be a decent fight. I think it's going to be a little bit of a tougher fight for her.
Well, like I say, I understand what you're saying and what you referenced that she said. But I don't know that it's apples to apples with just all the other fighters who have had fights in the last few years. I mean, we could probably think back to one or two or whatever. But I'm telling you, man, she was a star on those Hawaiian cards. And yes, it was stressful for her to have to make sure everyone had a ticket and, you know, kind of quarterbacking that whole deal and probably getting pulled in many directions because she is, you could tell she's a loving friend and family member. So she wanted to make sure everybody was happy. But that first year when they were there, I mean, she was the toast of the town. And then they went back and she hasn't fought since then. This is different. You're just sitting in a room for 48 hours while you're waiting to hear if you have coronavirus. Oh, I don't? Okay. Now I can go out, you know, but you're basically just isolated in the Mohegan Sun. And what can you do? You know, there's no palm trees. There's no beaches. There's no family. There's no Hawaiian food. I mean, it's the complete opposite setting that she has. So we'll see. And what probably is a tougher opponent, too.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely going to be worth a tune-in, though. Between that and this weekend's card, if you're an MMA fan, you're going to be happy. And if you're a combat sports fan in general, I mean, just go back to last week and some boxing, the week before that. We've been pretty good. We're closing the year pretty strong here.
Yeah, you know what I failed to look at was, is there any boxing matches this weekend? I don't think I've heard of any lead-ups to anything going on. Have you?
I don't think there's any big ones this weekend. But between all the, you know, top ranks, all those guys, they've been putting on consistent cards. But I don't think there's a really big one this weekend.
Yeah, we had Lopez versus Lomachenko, Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. Hey, you laugh all you want. That was the biggest one of them all in terms of, like, the buzz that was created. Tyson mm-hmm. still has it, man. That was all like 90% Tyson, 10% Roy Jones Jr. No disrespect, but Tyson's just a mythical figure. And Roy Jones is a guy that has an incredible resume, but Tyson's just kind of like stepped out and became a cultural phenomenon, kind of like The Rock. You know, like The Rock and Stone Cold, The Rock and Triple H, The Rock and maybe John Cena. The Rock and what he's done in the entertainment world is just tremendous, you know. So that's why he's pretty much, he'll never go away as far as like his name. But and then last week we had Errol Spence Jr., man, another guy that's argued to be one of the pound for pound greats against Danny Garcia. So we had a nice little run there with boxing.
We might have dropped the ball a little bit, though. I think you were the one that brought it up. We could have done a watch along for that Tyson thing. I think a lot of people would have wanted to tune in and watch something like that, because you're right. He is like a mythical character. He's somebody that a lot of us grew up with, and a lot of younger cats that have never seen Mike Tyson before were curious to see. And then there's Jake Paul that we all know nothing about. Well, apparently, I guess us old dudes don't know anything about it. Some of you guys might be rolling your eyes right now, but I'm sure he brought a lot of eyes too.
And I don't want to be a hypocrite, because I remember thinking I wasn't that interested in Tyson and Roy Jones, because I remember watching the last Tyson fight like in 2008, and he wouldn't come out for like, I believe it was the seventh or eighth round. And it just, you know, it was similar to what other fight. Here's the difference. I think he felt like he still had it, and this was adding on to his actual career, whereas this one was so removed from it. We just looked at it as an exhibition, so our expectations dropped. But he looked good. He went out there, you know, and he looked like he took it serious. And Roy Jones Jr. looked like Mike Tyson did in his last fight in 2008, even though Roy Jones has actually been pretty active, goes in his late 40s. So it just completely blew my mind. And I stand corrected. Tomorrow we do have Anthony Joshua versus Kobrat Pulev. Now, remember, there's going to be like a time change because this is in London. So this will be an afternoon affair. And I think Joshua's a zone fighter. I don't know. But like I say, boxing's been on a roll. So you guys should definitely take a look. I think as a combat sports fan, if you just grew up as an MMA fan, you'll love boxing if you can just separate the two and appreciate them. Shakur Stevenson versus Toka Khan Clary, that takes place here in Las Vegas. But the big one is AJ, the heavyweight champion out there. He holds three of the four major belts.
Yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Heavyweight boxing.
Yeah. It's too bad that there's the time change. Otherwise, we could just have simultaneous TVs going, you know what I mean? And when one ends, we can pick up the other one. But our priority is UFC 256, Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. Two highly skilled flyweights. Both guys can crack. Both guys are awesome on the ground. And both guys are very flashy when they stand and when they go to the ground, meaning they will attempt knees and kicks and punches and elbows. They'll spin. It'll look like a video game. And then on the ground, they're incredible scramblers. They go for the kill when it comes for the submission. They're both young and fearless. I mean, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, for sure. Did you watch The Last Embedded?
No, I got to catch up.
They've been pretty interesting. They've been fun to watch. But seeing how cool and calm, collected Brandon Moreno is. Then again, I mean, Davidson Figueiredo is the same way, but Brandon Moreno just looks like this is his time. Like you're right. I think one of these underdogs in this fight is going to hit. Actually, even going back into Bellator, Emelie McFarland's got her hands full too. So I wouldn't be shocked if at some point this weekend we heard Ann Yu.
I do got to say something about one embedded. If I took off this shirt, I would be green like the Incredible Hulk. Not because I got muscles bulging out of my body, but because I was green in envy when Brandon Moreno was able to walk in and go, I'm going to get a suit. And he walked in and he told the guy, I'd like a suit. And the guy just looked at him like this and went, come here, fella. Boom, he put on the jacket. I'm sure a minor adjustment here or there, and he was just able to fly out. Why? Because he's a fit man, you know? You know the times when I've gone in and they go, oh, yeah, we'd have to the jacket, you know, we got to give you a little bit of extra space here, and we got to give you a, you know, this size we're out of, and the pants are off, and, you know, oh, my God, it is a complete mess when I've had to ever get a suit. And then when I put it on, I'm not comfortable at all. I can't wait to tear it off. And Brandon just put it on. One of those super tight ones, too, with the vest. They gave him a matching mask. I mean, he did it all in what appeared to be 10 minutes. I'm sure it was there about an hour. But just the fact that they can nail it like that when you're in shape.
Yeah. I can't even – I don't even know that the time has ever come where I've bought even a pair of jeans and didn't have to get them hemmed. I'm just – my body doesn't exist in the world. I don't understand it. Any type of pant that I get, whether it's suit or whatever, always – they might as well just send it directly to the cleaners because I got to go there and they got to alter it. I am very jealous. I'm with you, too. I'm green with envy.
Me, too, dude. The only time I've ever – the last time I can remember where I threw something on, I went, oh, okay, 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 was when I got my 3XL 49ers jersey. I always get them super big because I just like them to hang. You know, if I go to a game and I put on a sweatshirt underneath, I want there to be extra room. I could care less. Plus, I get the big fellas. It's not like I'm rocking a quarterback or anything. But I got Nick Bosa last year. And, I mean, I put it on. If I had gone 2X, which is really my size, it probably wouldn't have been a comfortable jersey. But I decided to go a little extra and just not care. And I put it on, and it was so free-flowing, and I had elbow room and everything. I loved it. But that was the last time I just was able to throw something on and say, let's go, let's go.
What's your philosophy on football jerseys? Can anyone wear any jersey, or do you have to stay within your body frame?
Ideally, stay within your body frame. I have always had a problem with my two buddies, my dear buddies, the Squid and Woody. These two idiots just couldn't get it right. Now, anybody that's saying, come on, man, you just call them your dear friends. Why are they idiots? And I'll tell you why. They are both Cowboys fans. So I lived with these clowns, right? And I lived with these clowns when the Cowboys had their heyday back in the early 90s when they were going to Super Bowl. So I had to put up with their big yaps for a couple years when we lived together. And, of course, knowing them for a long time. That was a five-year run, man, where they'd give you a migraine at the bar. You just wouldn't lose. Anyway, but the one thing I could always get them on was 6'2" Woody was Emmitt Smith, number 22, or whatever number he is, 20, I don't know.
22, I think.
5'6" Squid was Troy Aikman, number 8. And I used to look at them and go, you look more like compact Emmitt Smith, and you look more like statuesque Troy Aikman. Switch them. I think they were even rocking the same size because Squid was a bigger guy, but Woody was tall and he also liked it free flowing. So it wasn't like the size wouldn't match. I think they were both rocking XLs with thinner back then. Double XLs doesn't matter. But all they had to do was switch them and it would look more like them, you know. But instead, I had to stare at a 6'2" Emmitt Smith and a 5'6", 5'7" Troy Aikman. So yeah. I would say if you have a prick friend like me as part of the group who's probably going to point that out, stick to what you know. Like goes the other about 4 years ago, I almost got him a Josh Norman shirt. Cornerback, you know, the cornerbacks are the little guys on the team or whatever. He had just signed a big contract, so I figured, okay, he'll be able to rock this for a few years. I think I picked his brain and go, ooh, big signing, huh? And he was happy, but I didn't get that reaction from him. So I didn't get it. But that's how my mind would think. Now, recently, they just got a guy named Chase Young, except Goz now is 40 years old, so he may not care. Remember, Woody and Squid that I was talking about, we were in our 20s where we cared about everything. You know? We cared about everything. The vanity was important. Now, it's like, just give me the fucking shirt. So I think if I were to go, Goz, here's Chase Young, he'd probably go, cool, and put it on. But if he wasn't past 40, then I'd probably try and look and see if there's a corner or a running back and then say, yeah, that's more your fit because, again, Goz isn't Chase Young's size.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You know authentic jerseys? What makes them authentic are the numbers and all that are actually sewn in, right? If I think one time I had like a linebacker or someone, but it was two numbers and they were so big – that every time I would sit down, it was like I was wearing armor, like a bulletproof vest, because it would pop up like this, almost into my throat, the numbers. They were so big.
Oh yeah.
Sit down, the bottom of the numbers would hit my lap, and then the top one would like go up into my chin. It was like the most uncomfortable thing. Man, I can't walk around being Chase Young, you know. Like, if I'm a little guy like me, granted, nobody's gonna get a kicker. That'd be stupid. But like a QB, maybe a running back, a wide receiver. But anybody that's actually on the line, I can't wear that jersey.
Yeah. Woody accuses me of wearing a tight, snug – I was a tight, snug Jerry Rice back in the day. And I will concede that it was smaller than the big ones that I rock now, obviously. But for some reason, he has this recollection of a conversation we had at Legends where I told him – I don't know. He always uses the same quote. Don't you remember? We were at Legends, and you said – it needs to be snug or something like that. And I'm like, bro, why is it that when I call you and go, oh, remember the time you passed out? He's like, no, I don't remember. Like, remember yesterday we were driving and we had to kind of fill in on a few things when we were talking about the Blockbuster tapes fees that would accumulate because we never turned them in on time. And he was like, yeah, bro, I kind of remember. So when it's against him, he has this vague, man, oh, was that me? Yeah. Was that me that threw up? Oh, yeah. Was that me that, you know? Yeah, fool, that was you. But my bag, oh, he remembers the actual conversation, the breakfast I had, where we were positioned in Legends and everything.
But what you're saying makes sense. But that's if you're, like, playing, right? They got to be snug because you don't want to get pulled down by it.
Jerry Rice liked snug, man. He was a seam wide receiver. You know, he wasn't, like, a necessarily like a split end. I mean, he did, but he did like the – do those little skinny posts, and so they're tugging at your jersey. So yeah, he used to tuck it in nice and tight. So maybe I put on a couple pounds, and maybe that was my defense at the time. But I have more of a problem with his recollection.
Mm-hmm.
It's always convenient. All right, folks, listen. Again, back to this weekend, El Cucuy versus Charles Oliveira. We already talked about Figueredo versus Brandon Moreno. I smell an upset. But if you were to put a gun to my head, I would go with Davis and Figueredo. He does seem to be the complete package. But Moreno does not look scared or intimidated. Now, after watching them on Embedded, I think the ship has sailed as far as the quick turnaround. It looked like neither guy let himself get too out of shape in any way. They were able to take a few days off. Moreno was able to smash a burger or two. And Figueredo didn't fly back to Brazil. He got that bag with 50 G's in it. So I think both guys have had enough time to just give us close to 100% this weekend. And luckily, it sounds like both guys also may not suffer drastic, you know, with these drastic weight cuts again.
Did you see – well, you might not have seen. On Embedded, they had – Brandon Moreno had like a fight house, right, where he was staying. He's not staying at that hotel that everybody stays at. And I know where that is. Those are those America West, you know? Isn't America one of those? Right? Huh?
America West is everywhere, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can just kind of tell. Like, it's that area right in there. Yeah. So I don't know if the UFC owns that house or what, and they just put fighters in there. But he says it's him.
They used to own a few apartments over there at the UFC is a lot more gangster than we give them credit for. That's why they're building that hotel, because I think in the end it'll serve them plenty. But the UFC, from what I remember, when Khabib tore his knee, geez, I want to say that was 2013 or 15 or something, I gave him a ride back to Panorama Towers. And the UFC apparently owned some of those apartments there, and that's where they would keep their athletes. This was before the UFCPI. They wanted them near the strip, and I think it would just get old to have them at the Palace Station, you know, which was the hotel owned by the Fertittas. So they actually invested, because when you buy those apartments, that's property, you know, that's property for them. And eventually you pay the property off. But I remember they used to own a few there. So I would not be shocked if they own a few homes around town for that purpose, for teams or for emergencies or, you know. But I think once the hotel comes, that'll be it. Now, the houses used to have for the Ultimate Fighter, sometimes it was pretty consistent. Sometimes they switched it up. So I don't know if they ever just leased those or if they
were, you know. You're talking – I thought you meant because for the Ultimate Fighter, where it was is, if you guys don't know, the old gym used to be right by the Palms. And right next to the Palms, there's like – I don't know if they're condos or apartments or what, but that's where the coaches would stay. And that was no panorama towers. That was pretty, it was basic. I don't know if they owned them or what, but I remember the coaches would stay there. And I think they would even share like two in each one or something.
I remember Paulie Malignaggi had a nice little rant about when he got stuck with Team McGregor in some shitty house or something like that, he said, while Connor was in some palace. But yeah, I believe it. I bet you they have a lot of properties now. Now, look, that was under the Zuffa era. Maybe it's different now under Endeavor. Or it could be that they just lease the home for 2 months or a month. I don't know. But, yeah, that's an America West brand, right?
The one that Brandon Moreno was in for sure is.
Yeah. That's cool. Anyway, Okoye versus Charles Oliveira. I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit there. I'm going to go with Kikui, and I'm going to go with Moreno. I think Moreno has the better chance of winning over Figueiredo versus Oliveira over Kikui. I think both Oliveira and Moreno can win, but, man, they're going against two titans. And as far as tonight, I think Olimelei holds on for title, but this will be your toughest test yet. But I still think that there's some opportunities there. I think Kevin Holland is a dog. I think Mackenzie Dern is a pretty good bet. She seems to have turned the corner. And who knew? Her as a mother, she just seems like more professional and more mature than her as a single girl. So maybe her being a mom early in her life may have helped her career.
Yeah, somebody was saying earlier in the chat, I saw that they were saying she would be the one that would steal the show. And that's the thing. It's not always the main event that steals the show. Just so happens that the last card it was. But a lot of times, some of these earlier fights are the good ones. So I'm looking forward to watching pretty much the whole thing. I think Mackenzie Dern, I go back and forth on her, man. There's times where I think she has tons of talent. And there's times where I feel like somebody that's just a little bit more experienced, more seasoned, could take her out. But that was kind of like Randa Markos, right? And Randa Markos did not have a good fight against her. And then the main event, it's like Brandon Moreno, I think, can take good shots. I think he could take some of Davidson Figueiredo. So we'll have to see if he could stretch it into the later rounds. Maybe he can exploit that. But I think I'm going to go Davidson Figueiredo. But though, if I had to pick an upset, it would probably be in that co-main. I think Oliveira could maybe catch Ferguson. So I guess we're completely backwards, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not too heavy on either side. I just think there's opportunity there with underdogs. You know, if you look at it, Cub Swanson, and depending on what house, Jacare might be the dog too, because it's kind of flipping back and forth. Cub Swanson, Jacare Souza, Junior Santos, all underdogs, you know, all ranked fighters, and they've all been pretty great for years. JDS, mid-30s, although that's not really that old as a heavyweight. Jacare now 40. Cub Swanson, high mid-30s as well. But something to be said too, man, if you can put together a good camp and stay healthy, when you have a ton of experience like that, they're not just going to blow right through you either. Right. Although you never know with Gane. Gane looks scary too, man. Mm-hmm. Just a real guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with mixed martial arts is anytime you talk to fighters, they're going to tell you, this is a great camp. I'm in the best place of my life. And everything's clicking for me right now. But that's just not the case. And a lot of times it's like that for your opponent as well. So who knows? Who knows where some of these cats are at? But there's a lot of guys and gals on this card that need to prove something. You got Cub Swanson coming back from an injury. Where is he at? He's got a very, very formidable opponent. And then you got JDS, right? Like, he's on a little bit of a bad streak, but he can always turn it around. So a lot of these veterans have something to prove on this card, I feel.
JDS told us, and he was right, in every single one of those fights, he was competing. He felt like he had a lead. He was winning until he got caught. The problem with JDS is when he does get caught, I wish there was a little bit more of a cover-up and head movement versus the retreat. I think the retreat is where he also gets hit with follow-up shots that when, you know, when you're already rocked and dazed and you're not expecting the ones, you know, that you ultimately don't see coming, that's where the trouble really winds up. Like, I know that a lot of people have given Alistair Overeem shit in the past because he'll get hit a lot of times, and then he'll just do this cover-up where he almost, I think he's waiting for you to expend a lot of energy or whatever, or he's just hoping that most of them miss. And sometimes some of them get through, but Overeem's had a little bit of luck with that, with, you know, just really, really covering up against the cage, you know, and moving a little bit. So I don't know, but Gane's showing a lot of promise. Gane might do to JDS what JDS did to Verdum. Luckily, JDS is the same guy, you know, so he knows what it's like to be the young guy and catch the older guy. Or maybe he wasn't as old, because this was 2008. Verdum was still like – Verdum's just more of an established name because of – the grappling world, and then him coming over from Pride, but he almost sent Verdun to the moon. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. To the moon.
Yeah, man, that was a really, really vicious uppercut and some follow-up shots by JDS. All right, folks. We're getting ready to wrap up here very soon, so let me do one last reminder here as far as Sportscaster Junkie Radio. This Saturday is Saturday, December 12th. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, our UFC 256 watch-along. Goz and I are going to watch the fights along with you if you order it. And if you don't, then guess what? We'll tell you what's happening in real time. Better than Twitter. Better than any form of social media or probably even the radio, because we're going to be able to describe it and you can chat with us here in the chat room. So come hang out. Now, Goz and I are going to dip in early, but we'll see you advertised 10 Eastern. Some Pacific. Goz and I are going to dip in about an hour to catch the last prelims with you, and then the five on the main card. But it's going to be a good time. We've done this for the last few years here on Sportscaster, and we always have a good time. Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno, that's the main event. It would definitely help if you could share, retweet, pass it on to others so that they can hang with us. The more, the merrier.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a fun time. We like doing these, and this card to us, there's fighters on here that we really enjoy watching fight, and it's going to be a special one. We'll have our drinks. We'll have our food. You guys are welcome to do the same and let us know. Chat in that, you know, we have a chat room that comes with this, and that we have a lot of fun chatting with you guys in there, and we like to make you guys a part of the broadcast as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Also, I'm hearing Gavin Tucker is a good play against Billy Quarantillo. Anyway, folks, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you so much, as always, for your support. And sorry about the technical difficulties earlier. We'll definitely reschedule with Jamal Hill. And we've proven to you that we can definitely make up anytime this happens. So have a nice day. Have a nice weekend. We'll see you all on Saturday for the UFC 256 watch along. Go out there and be a champion.